is Justin Wong. It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
New Zealand has deployed up to 65 police and a defence force to the Solomon Islands to help restore peace and stability in the country after a week of unrest. Anti-government protests broke out in the Pacific country last week against Prime Minister Manasa Sogave for corruption and unemployment. At least three people were killed in its capital, Honiara, with the mob torching much of the city's Chinatown area. Australia, Fiji and Papua New Guinea have already deployed about 200 peacekeepers into the country. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the deployment is a response from the Solomon Islands government and it will be short term. Dr. Tess Newton-Cain is the program leader of the Pacific Hub at
Griffith University in Brisbane.
I spoke to her earlier this morning and I asked her what's the current situation in the Solomons.
Yeah, so currently in Solomon Islands, we've seen, thankfully, the violence that we saw last week, we've seen that a bit as abated, and things seem to be quite quiet on that front. There's work going on, obviously, around cleaning up where there's been damage and, you know, repairing damaged buildings and all of those sorts of things. There are concerns that damage to wholesale and retail shops may lead to food shortages. People have been reporting that they've had difficulty sourcing quite basic supplies for their families. As we know, there's a sort of a significant amount of international security assistance on the ground in Honiara. There are currently police and military from Australia. There's police front and correctional services officers from Papua New Guinea, and there's also a contingent from Fiji. HMAS Adelaide tied up at Honiara yesterday, and New Zealand police will be deploying to Honiara very soon as well. So there's a lot of extra resources for the Solomon Islands authorities to draw on in maintaining order over the next little while.
Yes, because the civil unrest mostly focused on the Chinatown area of Honiara, so could an element of ethnicity is involved for the cause of this unrest?
Well, no, I think the cause of the unrest, or the initial cause of the protest march from which the unrest eventuated, was around domestic politics. So it was around a political protest against the leadership of Manasa Sogavare as Prime Minister and the overall conduct of his government. As things deteriorated and we saw maybe, youth elements and maybe some opportunists get involved and it became more around rioting and looting, then the focus was on Chinatown, which is something that we've seen happen several times in Honiara. It's sort of a standard response or a standard thing that we see in these situations is that those businesses in that part of town do tend to be targeted. But there's nothing I've heard that would indicate that the starting point was against the Chinese community. It was very much around discontent over domestic politics.
What sort of domestic politics that there is discontent with?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern around corruption or perceptions of corruption. As we know, since Solomon Islands changed its allegiance from Taiwan to China, there have been lots of discussions and promises of big infrastructure projects and significant investment by Chinese companies in working in Solomon Islands. I think there's a perception that has led to, you know, the funneling of those opportunities has not been done with sufficient transparency. The people of Malaita have a long-standing concern that they don't get a fair share of development and projects in their country. And as we know, when the switch was made from Taiwan to China, Malaita was the Malaitan leadership and the Malaitan community was very vocal in their opposition to that. And I think there are also concerns about personal reputation of Manasa Sogavare. He's been prime minister several times before. He comes with something of a checkered past. He has a lot of supporters and he has a lot of political enemies.
What's the relationship between Malaitan and Taiwan? Because there's very few times in probably in world history that we see that we see some of Taiwan's diplomatic allies are resisting the urge to switch from Taipei to Beijing.
Yeah, so as when this switch was made about 2 years ago, I mean there was a fair amount of discontent generally about the process that was used, and again a lack of consultation and apparent transparency. But the people of Malaita, or the leadership of Malaita, took a particular stance, if you like, and the premier said that he wouldn't accept any Chinese-funded investment or development in his province. It was the situation was appropriated by voices within Malaita who have a long-standing push for increased autonomy or possibly even independence for that province. So they sort of said, well, we'll go our own way. We've certainly seen the Malaitan leadership maintain a relationship with Taiwan to the best that they've been able to do so. And during the COVID pandemic, we've seen Taiwan try and send aid directly to Malaita, which certainly caused a great deal of concern at the national government level. We also saw the U.S. announced that they were going to put a huge amount of money into a project that would be focused on Malaita. Again, very unusual and somewhat concerning that a development partner would seek to bypass national government processes and deal directly with the provincial government. But I think it speaks a lot to, again, the domestic aspect of this. There's been a push in Solomon Islands for quite some time for a federal system of government. And that push has now been reiterated, not just by the Malaitan leadership, but by other provincial leaderships as well. It's been a long-standing conversation in Solomon Islands, so I think we'll be hearing more about that as well.
So the objectives of the protests was the resignation of Prime Minister Masand Sogave. Do you see that as an eventuality?
Well, Prime Minister Sogavare has said that the only way he'll resign is on the floor of Parliament, through a democratic process, if he's, you know, forced to resign on the floor of Parliament. And there is a motion of no confidence that's been tabled by the Leader of the Opposition, and that will be debated in Parliament on Monday. So I think that will be the next key event as to what the fate of that motion of no confidence is. We've seen a number of resignations from the Sogavare government, predominantly from the backbenchers. So I think we'd need to see a few more for that motion to succeed. And then obviously we'd need to see how Sogavare responds in the event that it does succeed.
So my final question on this is, well, we now see Australia and New Zealand deploying personnel over to the Solomon Islands. What's their role in this? Will they try to affect the way the political situation that is happening, or they're just there for peacekeeping purposes?
Yeah, so under the terms of the security treaty between Australia and Solomon Islands, and also further to a specific request to New Zealand, the security personnel that have been deployed are there in order to maintain order and to maintain security for the people of Solomon Islands, and also to help protect critical infrastructure. Their role is to support the work of the Royal Solomon Islands Police Force. They have no mandate to be involved in political processes, and I think for both Australia and New Zealand, that their leaders have made it very clear that they are not there to interfere in democratic political processes, and I think it would be very damaging to them as partners to Solomon Islands to be seen to be doing that, or to allow themselves to be portrayed as doing it. There's already been a bit of backwards and forwards about this from Daniel Suidani's leadership on Malaita, saying that they're essentially propping up the Sogavare government. There is a risk that that is how they might be perceived or portrayed, and that's something that they'll need to navigate very carefully.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95BFM.